If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Listening, as I've just said, to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Tonight our topic is understanding our global condition and how we can be a part of the solution. So let's begin with an attunement. So take a deep breath and relax and bring your consciousness completely present, keeping in mind that you don't begin and end with the top of your head and the bottom of your feet, but you are a life stream extending from the very heart of eternity through myriads of dimensional perspectives, planes, and overviews of consciousness, each held in place by a specific geometric configuration that we call the grid. Just be aware of that. You are not a singular, limited human being, but you are a vast continuum of consciousness, simply willingly allowing your focus to be unified into this time-space, but awakening to the vastness that you cohabit at the same time. So pretend in your mind's eye that you're standing outdoors on a soft, wonderful green, grassy field, way out in nowhere. Pretend like it's at night. Maybe it is where you live. And feel your feet sinking into the soft grass. It's just that perfect warmth. And you can actually feel the pulsing of energy and vitality coming up through your feet. You can almost sense the heartbeat of the Divine Mother that we live upon in the form of Bhumata, Bhudevi, as she's called in Sanskrit, Bhumi, the Divine Mother that manifests as creation, as earth. Now from your heart and your soul, send love right down to your feet in appreciation and respect and honor to Bhumi Devi, the heart of Mother Earth. And with an attitude of appreciation, express your gratitude for the privilege of having a body molded of the earth, walking the earth, and at the same time inhabited by the divine presence itself. Now when you feel completely one with the earth, raise your arms and look up into the vastness of the cosmos. Take a deep breath and connect to the universe and to the creator that created the universe and the earth and all the myriads of worlds within worlds within worlds, and all the dimensions and planes, and all the beings on this and endless worlds and dimensions. And experience the very heart and soul of this great universal, all that is soul, filling you and pouring down into your innermost consciousness as rays of light from the great central suns, within suns, pouring forth from the heart and mind of the Supreme Creator. As that light enters the top of your head, see it unifying your mind and bringing it into perfect harmonious resonance, your heart, so that your heart in response to this light opens like a beautiful rose. Each petal unfolding with the most exquisite fragrance. And see your whole life blossom out of that sweetness of your heart center until your whole energy field expands out into a heart-shaped configuration. And now allow it to expand while you look clairvoyantly and see in your mind's eye that the earth also has the configuration of a heart. Now merge your singular heart with this greater heart of the earth until they're one and the same and perfect balance. Now see the earth expand into a greater heart and let that be the heart of God. And see that which is the earth and that which is you as smaller heart fields merge and unify in perfect harmonic resonance with the heart of God. Take a deep breath and integrate, infuse, magnify, and irradiate this divine light into every single cell and organ and particle of your existence on every dimensional plane, asking that whatever could be lifted at this time that would not be for your highest good energetically, that that be released in the perfect plan and loving and will of God. And ask for whatever it is that you need now. Is it greater emotional balance? Greater mental equanimity and clarity? Greater conscious awareness of your divinity and your place and purpose here? Is it clear directives as to where to take your next step in your life? Do you require greater provision to sustain and support you? It's very important, beloveds, that you learn to ask very specifically for what you need. You don't have to tell God a big story. God made you and even gives you the thought to ask. Nothing comes from you, really. It is all God's play of consciousness within you. And yet, you have free will. And with that free will, you can turn towards God or away from God. It's just a mental exercise in futility to turn away. But you're even allowed exercises of futility. That is how much you are loved and cherished and allowed to unfold and progress and grow at your own rate and proclivity and preference. But I would suggest that if you want to have things align more perfectly in your life, that you begin to ask very specifically for what you need and make a very conscious connection with the earth and the heavens, with God within you, in your heart, and the greater God in which you live and move and have your being, in the vaster, open-ended, ever-unfolding creations of God. Take another deep breath and allow that new overlay and infusion to fill you so that your calibrations of energy are set to the highest resonant rate possible. Your mind, your subtle bodies, your physical vehicle, and the overall vibratory resonance, the sound and light frequencies that have densified as your particular personality and its expression at this time. And we ask that this new energy be set by the order of Melchizedek and set so that it may be absorbed and integrated according to the best process for each one of you that are listening tonight. And we give deepest gratitude and thanks. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Amen. So to truly understand what is happening in our world today and in our personal lives, I think it's important to understand that the level of consciousness from which we live, our mindset, is what constitutes how we see the world. So our mindset and our worldview shapes our reality. The outer world takes the shape of your beliefs, your expectations, your fears. Everything goes into that matrix until you have learned to bring that higher nature that we call the high self or the soul or the Atma or conscious awareness more present. We will be projecting a reality that is shaped by the particular grid that we most affinitize with. Once you clearly grasp the dynamics involved in this global and personal transformation that we are collectively undergoing, you will be released from the vice of fear and finally set free to soar. In fact, what we're sharing tonight actually could save you from spending thousands of dollars on counselors, psychoanalysts, doctors, alcoholic beverages, drugs, tranquilizers, and other approaches to relieve the stress, worry, and fear that so many people seem to be tormented by at this time. Course of Miracles says, and I think very eloquently, trust would solve every problem now. Trust. Trust God. Trust your process. Trust the universe. Trust the earth. Trust the child of God that you are. Do you know that you are absolutely irreplaceable as an individual in this whole quantum shift that we're undergoing, that you cannot possibly be overlooked, shirked, left behind, rejected? Everything in your life, whether you realize it or not, is proceeding along a perfect divine ordering and plan. The scriptures say that the steps of the righteous are ordered, and that we walk by faith and not by sight, and call a thing that is not as though it were, and it shall be. So as you walk in that integration, you're able to proactively mold the very atoms of existence around you to support your divine walk and to lift you out of the tumult of the physical earth changes. It has been said in the Keys of Enoch by Dr. Hertak that our prayers, our songs of praise can actually and will actually in the future, and perhaps that's now since he wrote it some 40 years ago, that these things will actually stop wars in process. These things will have such power. The voice of the peoplehood of God, the Ami Shaddai, will have such power that we will be able to have a demonstrative presence on the earth that can stop the asteroid impacts, that can produce miraculous healings, that can quiet the elements, the earth upheavals where that's appropriate, and even stop the oil leak in the Gulf. Why don't we see this happening now? Well, for the simple reason that most of us are still in reconnaissance mode. We're still trying to get our sea legs underneath us, so to speak, to find out where it is that we walk in our consciousness and what it is that we actually have in the working protocols we have available in our lives. So many people are still looking for a mission. And if they keep looking, they're going to miss the whole thing. They're still going to be looking. So the practical thing is to start where you are with what you've got and do what you can do with what you have at hand. You know, you're given more as more is required. But if you don't use the little that you have available today, more is not going to be given to you tomorrow. So the economy and the efficiency of the universe is such that you are given just what you need, sufficient unto the day, is the substance thereof. Just like, for example, the Israelites who were given manna for the day. But if they tried to hoard the manna for the next day, it became spoiled. So we have to use, we have to learn how to live so in tune with the universe that the needs of each day are provided. Like Jesus said when he taught the Lord's Prayer to his disciples, give us this day our daily bread. That daily bread has to do with everything that sustains our life. Everything from the rent that may be due on this day, to the karmhemat that may be due today, or whatever else may be needed today, with also the surrendered attitude that recognizes that if your car should happen to be repossessed, or if you should be ousted from your dwelling in some manner, that too has already been covered and provided for whatever you will need to facilitate your next step. We need to learn to unerringly turn to this direct knowledge of our provision and divine encompassment so that we literally walk in the presence of the Lord at all times. There's no longer any wiggle room in your life. There need not be for worry, fear, or concern about your survival, your viability, or what do you need to clothe your body, to feed your body, and to cover your body. If you realize that everything you need is always at hand, that is a spiritual principle that I have personally tested again and again and again in all sorts of situations that were real cliffhangers for me. You know, real nail biters. But in every instance through these many years, I have never seen it fail. Now, how do you earn that? You earn that, if you want to look at it in terms of earning it, by relinquishing worry. Take everything that you're afraid of and worried about and lay it at the feet of the Lord and leave it there. Walk off and abandon it. That's the one thing you can reject and eject and abandoned are all your worries and concerns about yourself. do know if you're about the Lord's work, He will make it His business to take care of your needs. Yes. So your dharma, your duty, is to be about the work of God. What is the work of God? Loving and uplifting. Period. Loving and uplifting. Who? Anybody, everybody, wherever you are, all the time, no vacation. You can always smile. You can always have a pleasant, positive attitude. Sometimes that's all that's needed to change the atmosphere of an entire office or workplace. So that's your dharma. That's your duty. My friend used to say, you know, we don't actually have a lot of dragons that need slaying anymore, but there's sure a lot of flies in the kingdom to swat. The flies, in this case, would be negative thoughts. Swat those little suckers. Don't let them infect your mind and spoil your day and sour and embitter your attitude. Take that fly swatter and that raid and go after the roaches of niggling doubts and fears and things that creep into your mind and try to rob you of your pleasures of simply being alive and being an innocent child dwelling in God's golden kingdom. The kingdom of God is within you, but once you enter it, you'll find the whole world becomes the kingdom of heaven. And that is the objective. So you can enter the kingdom of heaven and exit the world anytime you really, really want that, more than anything else. If that was the only thing you wanted, more than anything else in the world, you would be in there. And the reason that you're not is because you have made other things more important to you than the diligence required to live in a higher state of consciousness. So this is not an indictment or anything to have guilt over. It's simply something to recognize, like, oh, okay, well, I spent more time thinking about my boyfriend or my girlfriend, as the case may be, than I have the kingdom of God and my part in it and participating in it today. I have been worried about whether or not my boyfriend's going to call or, you know, whatever, or how I'm going to pay the rent, or what's going to happen next week or next month or 2 years from now. You see how we rob ourselves of a truly joyous present moment by allowing that monkey mind to jump off here and jump off there, limb to limb, what about this, what about that? You learn after a while to just zip it. You don't need to know anything that you don't know. Any question you have will be answered when the need arises that you need that information. Why do you run after all these psychics and soothsayers to have your future read? They don't even know where they're going to go in the next 10 minutes. How can they tell you anything about your future? All they do is read your aura. Wise up. Begin to be present with yourself, with your own knowing, with your own level of realization, with your own life, with your own 10 acres. Why do you bother your mind and fill your attention with things over which you have no jurisdiction, no control, no power, and no say? That is truly an exercise in futility, and it wastes your time. And it robs you of a truly childlike joy that comes with entering the kingdom of the heart, the kingdom of God within you, which is such a sweet state that once you've found it, you will never, ever, ever want to depart it. And you will know those who have found it because they're the ones that are going through these days without worry. And they're smiling. And they have moments of genuine joy, and they have a deep inner peace that if everything in their life fell in on their heads and collapsed around them, as it has in many cases, they will be still filled with joy. That is the sort of possession that no one and nothing can wrest from you. That is yours, and that is your safe tower and your safe fortress during the times ahead. I want you to be aware that we are in the times when the entire outer world and the way that it has been governed, the whole geopolitical system the commercial system, the commercial beast, as it's called, which is the world system. The world system is the quote, quote, beast, or the whore of Babylon, if you want to get real graphic. And it's that consciousness that sells out for stuff. It sells its soul to have stuff, to acquire and amass and control and manipulate stuff in the material world. And so it's a mindset that we've all been exposed to and affected and infected by to some degree. So none of us are exempt. We're all part of feeding the beast and keeping him really, really well fed. So now it's time for us to turn our eyes from that beast and begin to focus into the Son of God, which is you and me and everyone. It's that divine Christ heart, that divine Christ love, that divine Christ and the Holy Spirit of wholeness and holiness that indwells your human vehicle as a living temple. That is where we need to focus our attention now. The beast is going to go the way of all illusion. It's going to be dismantled and dissolved and consumed and replaced by an age of truth and love in which the Christ reigns supreme. That is the faith of the beast. So give it no more homage. Bow no more to its graven idols. And depart the system, which is not leaving the world, but living in a different state of consciousness while you're still in the world. It's a simple shift of perception. And that perception shift will open your eyes so that you can truly see. Because today most people have eyes, but they're not seeing. And they have ears, but they can't hear. Because they are rendered deaf and dumb and blind by the beast. The beast is what the image of the beast is the media that keeps feeding you the scenes and the mindsets of the world system. And as we keep feeding that bestial worldview by constant media intake, we keep that mindset in place, and our vibration puts us out of harmony and sync with what God is doing and what's really happening in our world today. Let's look at it in terms of, let's start with consciousness. To further clarify, the world we experience around us is given its shape, quality, and significance by our level of consciousness. And this, in turn, as I have said, connects us to a specific geometric configuration that fits us into a grid that corresponds with that sacred shape and configuration. That's why consciousness is very precise, and why the old adage that you can't fit a square peg into a round hole is very apt here. Because you are going to inhabit the world of your consciousness grid, pure and simple. And unless that shifts to a different configuration through the transformation of your consciousness, you're going to go on with that, tapestry of consciousness, wherever it is going to be presenting, whether it's the new earth or a repeat of another third-dimensional planet in another cycle yet to be. See, we're coming to the end of a 13,000-year cycle. That's why we're having all the Earth changes. At the end of a 13-year cycle, you always, or a 13,000-year cycle, you always go into a new cycle in which before you enter the new, the old is completely dismantled and taken apart. Collapses, it fails, it's, total wipeout of the existing, and a complete moving into a new state of being. Only now, we're doing it so fast. I mean, think back. 100 years ago, our grandparents, great-grandparents were coming across the plains, at least here in America, in covered wagons. Today, we're going to the moon. I mean, get a perspective here. How much has happened to our planet, really just in the last 65 years, mainly? Could they, in those days of the covered wagon, even have conceived of a city like New York or Los Angeles or the media and the cell phones and the computers and all of the stuff we have now, the space travel? My heavens. So as rapidly as things are progressing now, the Mayans have told us that as we progress through this night, this last night, and get ready to enter into the last day of this cycle, not this earth, but this cycle, things are going to be changing by the minute. You know, where they changed in a series of years, then it was months, then it was weeks, and then it was days. Now it's going to be like hours, fast, 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 fast. So if you're clinging to the old and the obsolete, you're going to feel like you're being torn apart. That's why to relinquish control is the most important thing right now. To recognize what's in your jurisdiction and what isn't. Several things are completely in the hands of God with regards to you. Number one, when you're born in this world, you have no say. That's God's domain. How you're born in this world, that's God's domain. When you die from this world, and how you die from this world is God's domain. And, or, if you are to rapture, or be beamed up, or ascend, or go through a dimensional grid shift, that's also in the domain of God. The best thing you can do is get with the program and cooperate with what's taking place in your life in the most positive way you possibly can. And don't sweat the small stuff. And don't seek to constantly know why and what and all of that. Let go of this monkey mind. Do you know it's never going to run out of an end of questions? As soon as one question is answered, 10 more is going to crop up, and you're wasting time. Go inside. If you have a question, write it down. Put it before the Lord, and then be quiet. Sit quietly with your question. I guarantee you, if you need an answer, in a few seconds you'll find, or a few minutes, you will find a flow of thought coming in regarding that question. I promise you, you will have an answer that is perfect for you if you will do this. Write your questions down and sit quietly with God and allow Him to speak to you. If you can't do that, He'll find some way to answer you. Through a song, through something you watch on TV, through a friend, through something you overhear. He has a million ways to communicate in a way that's perfect for you. But if you want direct access whenever you need it and want it and make room for it, you can have that too. So you're never limited except by yourself. Now, I want to look at something that we're certainly seeing on the news today, and I want to apply it to those of us who are the ground crew. And this is teaching from the Master Moria, one of the masters of the Great White Brotherhood. And it is also mixed with the energies of the Master Joel Kuhl, often called the Tibetan Master or DK. And it's from his book, Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, page 68. And this is something that applies to all of us. Master Moria has spoken about habits of residence that we engage in our minds and emotions that imperil the resident. In other words, bad habits that jeopardize our higher consciousness. And one of them, he calls by the... The danger of imperil, as the Master Moria has called it, has been erroneously interpreted as irritation by the neophyte. But but it is not, in fact, irritation in the ordinary connotation of the word. The surface ripples of ordinary irritation and the evanescent angers to which all disciples are prone are relatively of small importance. They pass, and in the sum total of the soul's attitude to its personality, evoke no response or registration whatsoever. But what is referred to is the reaction of the disciple to world evil. When he speaks of disciple here, he's talking about those of us who are willingly submitting to the discipline of being conscious co-workers with God. We are submitting to the discipline to be accountable to a higher guidance in how we live. And that's what's called a disciple. So the reaction that we have to world evil is what the master is referring to as imperil. And when we react to world evil, he goes on to say, this produces uncertainty as to the future, annoyance at what is being done throughout the planet by non-disciples, criticism of national and international planning, and a general atmosphere of unhappiness, plus a sense of superior knowledge. All of this is expressed in a negative, unconstructive manner. To this, many disciples are prone today. They need to realize that world affairs are not and cannot be molded or determined by any hierarchical knowledge in the possession of the disciple. World affairs and conditions have necessarily to be based upon the demand and the point of evolution of the mass of humanity, working through their representatives, chosen or imposed, in every country. This demand can be and is affected, modified, and spiritualized by the attitude and the teaching of disciples everywhere, who are vocal and of humanitarian instinct. Good example would be this radio show, for example. That's what I'm doing. I continue. If, however, the will and knowledge of disciples in all nations were to condition the world affairs and control entirely the political, economic, and social life of the people, it would, produce a far more serious cleavage than now exists. For instance, between the rich and the poor, or between the classes and the castes. It would produce a pronounced line of demarcation between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of men. This would be, the kingdom of God would be the fifth dimension, and the kingdom of men would be the third and the bridge of the fourth dimension. So, to continue, this would run counter to hierarchical intention, which is rapidly healing the existent breach, and thus offset the work which Christ has set out to do on earth. This point is often overlooked by well-intentioned disciples. It is humanity which determines its own destiny. Disciples, that would be the light workers of the world, point the way, indicate the vision, set a needed example, and emphasize the ancient landmarks. Landmarks mean the ancient teachings of prayer, meditation, study, and service. Those are the ancient landmarks that we grow our consciousness up and mature it in. So what we're looking at here is a tendency to judge and be critical when it's none of your business, when you have no jurisdiction, no authority, no answers, no solutions. You're just shooting your mouth off, like you see the talking heads do continually on in pop culture and in the media. So that would be very, very wrong if that was a disciple, to be engaged in that kind of debating and that kind of disputation. And that would create what the masters call imperil, which when you look at it in the aura, it looks like measles. There's like red spots throughout the aura, which causes such a counter-effective energetic that you can't hear higher guidance. It just closes your eyes and closes your ears to where you see, but you can't really see, and you think you hear, but you can't really hear. And that's the condition that people are in when they're in the lowest state of consciousness that we call the industrial worldview. You know, the entirely technological driven, artificial technology, I should say, not the technology of light and spirit, but the artificial technologies of the commercial world and the world beast, the world system. That is their predominant mindset. So that's one of the things that we need to step out of. Now, there are basically, there's several levels of consciousness I want us to look at tonight. Because once you see what we have as choices, what we have to work with, I think it will make a lot more sense of where we're actually, in fact, participating. Now, in terms of the shift that we're going through right now, basically, bottom line, we're either seeing from our head or our heart, our rational mind or our heart's intuition. Or you could say we're either looking through the ego mind or the unified field of the Christ mind, Christ consciousness. So at the same time, you find a lot of people trying to define this polarized, dysfunctional world in terms of gender definition and blaming. Oh, well, we blame the world because it's patriarchal. And yet, if they studied history a little bit, they'd realize that, the world is under a primarily male mental mindset now, but just prior to this patriarchal system, we were under a matriarchal system of the goddesses that was every bit as cruel and harsh, and maybe even more so than the present patriarchal system. So we don't go, we have been going from one polarity to the other, back and forth, but now what we're moving into is a blending, a unified field in which we become whole within the male and the female polarities within us, and somewhat more of an androgynon in the sense that we are a gentle male energy that is proactive and a strong female energy that is receptive and at the same time is able to mold and define the direction of the proactive male energy. So you have more of a co-partnering of the two polarities that everyone has within their brain, within their mind, within their physical body, and within their perspective of how they move through this world. So let's look at these existing levels of consciousness and see how each functions within their respective environments and grid fields. And bear in mind as I speak that this has nothing whatsoever to do with race, culture, color, or creed. It has nothing to do with that when I speak of these levels of consciousness. The first consciousness you have is the aboriginal, the ancient, ancient wise ones, the indigenous elders who operate out of a close to perfect balance in their relationships to their creator, their environment, and each other. They're just slightly off of that perfect phi ratio, or golden mean, which is the standard of perfection in all of creation. And these indigenous wise ones actually operate out of a different DNA coding and than we're functioning from in the industrialized group of people in our modern world. So these tribes are relatively rare in our world today. Very few of them can be seen in the outer world at all. And they can be encountered in some of the remote areas. Like, for example, the Kogi of Colombia have just recently allowed themselves to be filmed and to be seen by the outer world. This is the first for them. And it's because they have such compassion for those that they consider to be their younger brothers and sisters in the world that they have stood forth. The same with the ancient Mayan civilization that's coming forward down the councils of the, for example, the Guatemalan Mayan council that I did a show about not too long ago. Then you have the Maori, you have the Rapa Nui of Easter Island, you have the Hopi and the ancient Tibetans and a few others that represent this native wisdom. These indigenous peoples live in harmony with nature and protect and enhance its ecosystems. And they can live for hundreds of years on the same land and leave no negative footprint at all upon their environment. It's amazing how they live so gently and lovingly and cooperatively upon the earth without messing it up. Wow. We have completely lost track of how to do that in the modern commercial world. We haven't a clue how to do that anymore. So that's why they're coming forward now. They all know that we're in the shift of the ages. They all know that we're going to see the collapse of our systems as we have them in place now. They all know that we're going to need massive amounts of assistance and guidance to get through these times. And do you know some of these people actually trace their lineages back to the pre-fallen, pre-Adamic Earth? Yeah, I've talked a lot about the fall, but I haven't really spoken about the pre-fallen, pre-Adamic Earth. Wow. And it's quite possible that that went on for millions and millions and millions of years before the actual fall that we trace back to basically the last days of Atlantis. So some of these Aboriginal people actually have an oral sacred tradition that enables them to have far memory all the way back to the time of Atlantis, and some even to the motherland of Mu. And since they convey their knowledge through sacred oral traditions, it's passed on from generation to generation. And many recall having come from the inner earth, from the Agartian communities. There's some 285, 87 or so inner earth cities that the Lemurians and the Atlanteans went into the earth in this tunnel system to survive, because usually when there's a massive change of consciousness, it denudes the surface of the planets with, the wherewithal to sustain life. So generally life goes inside in the inner civilizations of the planets, just like there's civilizations in all of the planets today in our solar system and on other dimensional planes, but not on the physical, at least not in large amounts of people. So the Vedas and the Upanishads, for example, were given by those elders who were able to attune to the very voice of God, the universal creative word, and were living in tune with the very heart of God in all life, near to perfect balance and harmony. And this was, 8 to 10,000 years ago that the Vedas were heard, called Shruti, that which is divinely heard, divine sound, the living word. And they wrote it down. It says that perhaps 108 sages originally wrote the 108 Vedas, of which only four have survived to this time. And it's interesting because written history is relatively recent and only came in during what's called the Iron Age or the Kali Yuga, when we are at the most ignorant, dense point of consciousness, or the Dark Ages. In fact, we're coming out of a period of darkness, a 13,000-year period of darkness, now into a 13,000-year cycle of light. know, these things are very normal that we're going through now. And because they have the far memory and the oral tradition that describes these times, they, I believe, are some of our wisest guides through the dimensional shift that we're going through now and what we are to expect since they've been through it. So these indigenous people, bear in mind, had no, and I emphasize no, mechanical technology whatsoever. They had no written histories, nor any need for such. They communicated through the language of the heart, through empathy, intuition, in total harmonic resonance with all life. And it said that they even communicated with the animals, and the animals in turn spoke to man. In fact, the writings of India record many such stories of speaking animals, such as the talking bears and monkeys in the story of Lord Rama. So these were the people of the heart. And when you think about it, every time we depend and replace a natural God-given ability and intuitive sensitivity with something mechanical, we weaken ourselves and become more and more dependent on artificiality and a system that upholds artificiality instead of truth. For example, the Kogi and other people, they communicate through heart language, heart speech. They don't even have to use words. The indigenous peoples of the Americas used to communicate with drum beats and smoke signals and telepathic sendings. All of the ancient people were highly telepathic. They didn't have cell phones and texting and email and stuff like that, so they weren't dependent. Now, there's going to be a time that's recorded in all the world scriptures, including the Bible, that we're going to have a period of darkness when the sun will not give forth its light, nor the moon. And apparently, according to some of the indigenous elders, our complete electrical grid will go down. So think of this, a world completely dark without any form of communication except your heart and your mind and your spirit. So if you're not used to communicating now with your heart, your mind, and your spirit, or even being able to sit still and quietly without some sort of outer distraction, you're going to be up against a rock and a hard place when these things come upon the world, which I think is relatively soon on the horizon. So consider these things. Begin to think about how you're dependent upon things that are not given by God, but are created by man to distance himself from the inner world of wholeness. That inner heart space opens up to an exact replica, but a true replica, of the outer universe. When you find that sacred entrance into your innermost heart that Jesus called the kingdom of heaven within you, it's an actual entrance into your chest, if you will, into your innermost core essence, that when you close your eyes and you look into that, you will see the sun and the stars and the moon, and keep going because that's just the sun, moon, and lightning realms of the lower astral. Keep going, keep going. But what I'm saying is that it will open up into all of the worlds, within worlds of divine creation. Everything is inside you. Everything, everything, everything is within there. You can't lose it. It's being imported with you wherever you go. It is you. It's within you. You can't lose it. You live and move and have your being in God. And God has his dwelling inside you. Get a sense of that. You and God are one. You're in God, and God is in you. That's different than saying I'm God. Nobody can say that with any degree of authority. But you can say, I live and move and have my being in God. And the Spirit of the living God dwells within me. And through that Spirit of the living God, I can do all things. That is truth. That is complete truth that has no degree of arrogance in it whatsoever. So, you have this group of the heart people. In fact, the Aborigines of Australia call themselves the real people. So, those are the real people. And then you have the people who have made of themselves something quite contrary to what God intended them to be, and yet we've been allowed to enter this mindset because it's part of the process that we need to move through to go to the next level. You can't bypass this level of consciousness. You have to pass through it. It's part of the process. So the idea is to move through it quickly, because whenever anyone is in this particular mind-controlled dominance, whatever you touch, you destroy. You're completely out of touch with the natural world. And that's what makes it a very dangerous place for our world to be in right now, because the average person in the world today is part of that mindset that we call the beast or the world system. And its whole nature is destructive. So basically, what we have is the Adamic or the Aryan race. Now, when I say Aryan or Aryan race, I'm speaking of the Aryavartas, the ancient ones that came out of the high Himalayas down into what is today now called India. And they're not white. In fact, they were brown, a brown race. But we're not talking about white skin. White skin people have absolutely no supremacy over black skins. Skin tone has one thing that causes it, and that is the degree of sunshine falling on that particular race in their particular environment and country. So the darker the skin, the more direct sunlight they have, the hotter it is. The lighter skin belongs to those nations that dwell in more temperate or colder climates. Get that into your mind. We must completely eradicate every sense of superiority or inferiority based on color or race or anything else that would put us against another because of their outer presentation. You've got to stop that. That is one of the most divisive things that this industrialized mindset does, is that it judges and creates disputation and division and separation between all of the children of the one God, the one Creator. So, in terms of a race mindset, this industrialized mindset, this technological mind that we are living in, this rational mind worldview, it's governed by rational thought. And in this case, it's the mind that is operated in duality and polarization. And that mindset will continually divide, dispute, judge, argue, and separate based upon prejudice and levels of assumed superiority and assumed inferiority. In other words, it's the ruling class and the, quote, oppressed masses kept under their domination. Now, this group of people introduced the age of technology, artificial technology, mechanized technology, warfare, and it conquered by military might and force. And today's modern technology and commerce-driven world is all under the control of that particular mindset. It is very self-focused and entirely selfish, and it has absolutely no sensitivity to its effects upon the environment. It doesn't care about the environment at all. It's that mindset that can go in and cut down the rainforest without any compunction or thought. It's that mindset that can go in and log those thousand-year-old redwood trees that exist only in a tiny place up in our northern coastlines here in California and Oregon. It's that mindset which can put, I mean, talk about stupid, it can actually put 4,000, almost 5,000 oil wells in our ocean, in our Gulf, an area that's constantly bombarded by terrific storms and hurricanes, any one of which could topple one of those things. That is the mindset that does that sort of thing. It's the one that strip mines in the sacred mesas of the Hopis. So that mindset is entirely driven by the desire to acquire and possess more land, more power, more control, more money, and on and on and on. So this is the major worldview for a large majority of human beings today who are largely unaware of any bigger plan or higher purpose whatsoever. It's totally unbalanced and completely out of touch with the natural order of things and the natural world. And it's also the state of consciousness that we are now being divested of, whether we like it or not. So the people that are suffering the most are the people who have totally bought into that mindset, don't have any higher directives or understanding, and just feel like they can't depend upon anything. The religion of this mindset, generally, if they have any, is totally based on outer ceremony that leaves them completely untouched and untransformed in their hearts, minds, and daily lives. It's that head knowledge again. It's the token ritual, the token ceremony, the token prayers by rote, but there's no spirit. There's no transformation. There's no evidence of a transformed and Christed life when you see it walking out in the world. It just continues on with its industrial machine and its imperative to acquire more and more. So also this mindset tends to be one that disbelieves anything that it can't actually touch, make money with, or do something with. It's got to see it to believe it, but even when it sees miracles, it doesn't have the ability to do anything but to react and say, oh, well, that's impossible. It's your imagination. That's hypnotism. That's this. That's that. They can't actually expand to the miraculous at all. They're just the opposite of the innocent heart of the child that is able to enter the kingdom of heaven. So that's the polar opposite in terms of consciousness grids that people of that industrialized mental mindset live in. Their challenge is to move from that ego mind into the Christ mind. And I most often speak about how to do that because the simplest way to do that is to be born again through accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's absolutely the absolute simplest way to have an immediate effect in your consciousness that transforms it and sets it into the new paradigm through grace. This is a total gift of grace that Jesus came in to give humanity, and it's there for everyone. So that's the easiest thing to do, and then to ask him to baptize you with the fire of the Holy Spirit, which is the spirit of truth indwelling, which then becomes the power drive to enable you to walk out that new life that you receive instantly through grace. You're instantly, you go from that old mindset and that old nature into being a child of God, birthed anew into the kingdom of God. And just like a brand new baby, you don't have any of that old stuff. It's been erased through the grace of your elder brother, Jesus the Christ. So that's why I speak about that so often, because most people don't have any time to do anything else. You got to default now in grace because that's all you got going for you at this late stage of the game. So whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what he said. So believe it, receive it, and, get on with it. I blew out my candle. It's dripping all over my table here. Oh, what a mess. Anyway, that is what we have to be about now. Really doing whatever it takes to shift out of this old worldview, this old mental worldview of doubt and disbelief and agnosticism, which means not having any belief or any conviction that you live by. Everybody believes something, but the values that give your life spiritual significance is what we're talking about. Some people are agnostics. They don't have that. Some people are atheists. They don't even believe in God. They don't believe, if you can't believe in God, it's very hard to have a sense of who you are because, you know, you have absolutely nothing to base your reality upon if you don't acknowledge that you had some point of origin with a supreme creator. So these things are all a part of the miseries that humanity is suffering through now as we go through these massive changes that are changing us both within and without at the same time. Now, this again is where you need to absolutely default on trust, absolutely default on placing yourself like a little child in the arms and embrace of God, your brother Jesus, however you want to visualize God, and surrendering to Him carrying you. You've got to be carried across the threshold of this new world. That's why the consciousness of humanity is called the Bride of Christ. And what happens to brides? They're always carried into their new life. In India, they put you on a beautiful palanquin. Also in Israel, they put you on a beautiful palanquin and carry you in a great ceremony to the house of your bridegroom. Well, here in America, in the old days, they used to, the bride would get carried across the threshold of their home by the groom. So, the same thing, the same metaphor applies to us. We're going to be carried by grace, by the divine beloved, across the threshold to the new consciousness. There's only so much we can do. We can prepare the vehicle, which we do through meditation and learning Merkaba or whatever it is we've done, whatever we've learned. But the final act is completely where you yield yourself and surrender completely to the bridegroom. How do you do that? Well, you quit thinking that you know what to do and put your hands in someone who does know what he's doing, which is the Lord himself. He promised. You know, it says in the scriptures that at the Last Supper he said, where I'm going, you can't go right now, but I'm going ahead to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you can be also. And if I go to prepare a place, know that I will also return and take you with me, that where I am, you may be also. And then he promised to never leave and never forsake us. And these are things that we really need to write down on those little 3x5 cards and stick them in our environment until those thoughts just absolutely saturate our mind and our consciousness and quiet that insecurity that so many people feel, where they go into their limited self and they're afraid, oh, well, maybe I'm not worthy, maybe I'm not this, maybe I'm not that, maybe I won't make it. You're just spinning your ego wheels. Get over it and realize that Jesus means exactly what he says. You can take him at his word and you can rely on him 100%, 100%, because he promised. He promised these things. And we certainly know that Jesus is the one person in all of history that we can 100% trust at all times, always. And today, he's appearing in people's dreams all over the world. People that have never heard of Jesus, that have never heard the gospel story, he's appearing as a figure in white and calling people to follow him. He's actually calling them out of falsehood, out of dysfunctional lives, dysfunctional mindsets, dysfunctional belief systems. He's calling them to follow him. That's what he's doing. Thousands and thousands of people all over the world. I keep track of these things because I like to share the good news with those of you that listen to these radio shows. So you have the industrial world right now that can no longer control the things that are happening on the planet. Therefore, they're trying to save their own skins and let everybody else to the fate of what they foresee as a rapid disintegration of our ecosystems and our irreparable loss of certain things that will make life tenable in the near future on this planet. But not to worry. No, not to worry. We will not be forsaken and left here to endure those things. That is not the plan that God has for his people. God's people are always delivered just prior to a major cleansing of the planetary system upon which they reside. However, the boarding pass for ascension is that you're centered in your heart. You must have that heart opened, and that must be the core from which you live your life to move into ascension. Now, if you miss the ascension, you will go to the appropriate level for your level of consciousness. I doubt very much that anyone who's listening to me this long on this radio show is going to miss the ascension. I'm quite certain that those of you that listen to these shows are people who are definitely in that heart resonance and or are rapidly coming into it and will be taken in some way or another beyond the convulsions of the final dissolving of the grid on this planet and our reestablishment within the new grid of consciousness, which is called the Christ Consciousness Grid. Now that, along with the new planetary Kundalini, has recently been anchored and secured, and now we can say with full authority that not one single soul will be lost. Everyone will make the shift now. That has been set in place. That comes from the highest levels of the Order of Melchizedek, which is in charge of this particular shift. And it is now secured, which means that we will definitely make the shift. Everyone will definitely make it. It will not be left to go through the dissolution, which certainly could have been the case had we not had supernatural assistance and great amounts of grace extended to our life wave. Now we have another group of people that comes out of the two that we've just mentioned, which are the awakening starseed, the awakening people on this planet, which are largely souls that are starseeded from other more advanced worlds. And they started coming in and affecting our planet about 1946-47. 1946, they began mass sightings in Europe, activating and awakening the European nations. And then in 1947, they started activating and awakening the North American continent, the South American continent, this hemisphere, in other words, the side of the pond. And we've had now since then many, many people who are coming in as volunteers on Earth assignment. Those would be probably most of us listening to these kind of radio programs and seminars, myself and others that are out there trying to share information and teach and inspire and uplift and point the way. We all come from other worlds, other planets. We've come into Earth as volunteer spirits to help with this planetary ascension. And that's our job here. We're not here to be concerned about our own ascension. That's a given. We're going to ascend, no problem. We're here to help others. And again, we help others by not holding back, but sharing the knowledge we have, the light we have, the abilities we have, the talents we have. I like to say we work, live, and teach at our highest level without compromise. Because if you hold back the words and the knowledge that you have, prejudging people that they're not ready or prejudging that you don't have enough to share, you've deprived people of that which is yours to give. And yours to give is based on your own direct experience. It's the wealth of your own life. The distilled knowledge that you've acquired becomes the wisdom that then you share with others. And the more you share it, the more you're given to share. So it's very, very important to give what you've got. On every level that you have something to give, give something of yourself to humanity. And you'll find not only will that keep you very, very happy and productive and proactive within this being part of the solution, but you begin to feel like the whole planet is your home, and all people are members of your family and your loved ones. And before you know it, you're living in your heart space, because that's what the world looks like when you're in your heart space. You find yourself at home, and everybody around you is your beloved, and your planet you cherish and love and respect and honor and use appropriately. And you honor all of the natural processes of nature, and you cooperate, and you leave as little carbon imprint as you possibly can on this planet. But I'll tell you something, even if we had no humans on this planet at all, it would still be going through these changes, because that's just simply the time that we're in and what is taking place. So then you have these souls that would be the star seed and those that have come from more advanced planetary worlds that have brought in and completed the Christ consciousness grid around the planet, which of course we had to have a certain number of people, 144,000, or at least 72,000 in the physical dimension to form that Christ consciousness grid. 72,000 on this level, 72,000 on the higher levels, make the 144,000 that brings God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And that is replicated by the 72,000 physical nerve endings we have in our physical bodies and the 72,000 nadis or spiritual currents of energy that make up our etheric network. So we have the 144,000 currents of energy within us, and we're part of the 144,000 of the collective, rivers of light that bring the collective into the ascension process. That was a quantum leap that we made some years ago when we established and set in motion through our many, many pilgrimages and anchoring sacred sites and activating and all the stuff we did in the 80s and the 90s to create this great network of outposts of light and consciousness anchorings and all the crystals and all the stuff that we did, all of us, each doing our part as we saw we were to do it, has created this Christ consciousness grid, which now we are moving into more and more finding their place within this higher level of consciousness and activating the higher knowledge and awakening to themselves or coming back in the future from higher levels of attunement and awakening. And so we're in a pretty good place in terms of the light action on the planet today. Even though outwardly it looks like a mess, so much is happening in the physical world, but that's why things that are happening in the spirit are absolutely perfect and on time. It just looks messy. I think the example I like to use here is just before a wedding, everything is in disarray. The bride is usually in tears. Her mascara is running. She's maybe snagged her gown with her heel of her high heel. Maybe her bouquets or her flowers aren't to her liking. Or so many things happen when you're getting ready for the wedding. Everybody's rushing here and there, trying to make everything come together and be perfect. The groom is sometimes having second thoughts. He's talking to his best man, and all this stuff is going on. And then the music starts. Dun, dun, da-dun. Dun, dun, da-dun. And this beautiful woman comes down the aisle in her beautiful gown. Everybody turns and their eyes start to fill with tears. And the groom is swelling with love and pride that this beautiful woman is going to be his lawfully wedded spouse. So that's what we're in now. We're in that green room. We're getting dressed for the wedding. Everything's a mess in the outer world. But when that trumpet calls, that trumpet sounds, and we hear the first chord of that celestial music, and we're caught up to meet that bridegroom in that higher consciousness of complete unified oneness, I'll tell you, it's going to be a time of such rejoicing that they say we cannot even conceive of what we are moving into. There's no way to describe it. There's no way to psychically prognosticate it. There's no way to divine it. There is no way to even, in highest truth, imagine it, because it is glorious. And it's for you. It's for everyone. So have a sense that you are provided for. You are absolutely loved and cherished and remembered and protected and encompassed about by great guardian spirits and great angels that are watching your every step and guarding you and guiding you and will assist you through this dimensional shift, which you will just take to like a little duck takes to water. You have done this before in other universes. We are experts of ascension. We know what it's all about. We've been there, done that, and bought the beanie. So don't be concerned about what you know or you don't know. It will activate and come present for you as you need it. Just walk in complete love, innocence, and trust with the beloved. Take the hand of the Lord and walk with him. And instead of worrying about stuff, repeat his name with love or say, I love you, Lord. My Lord and my God, I love you. I love you, Jesus. I love you, God. I love you, Father. I love you, Mother. I love you, creation. Run your I love yous instead of your worries and watch how that consciousness shifts and comes into a whole heart resonance all around you. And you'll find that your heart expands until it becomes the world in which you live. And when you're in that heart space, do you know the whole universe rearranges itself to keep you protected, and it calls you forth from the places of destruction and is the shield all about you that keeps you safe and viable. Whatever may come on the planet, whatever may come down, you will be in the safe place, in the right place, in the perfect place at the right time. And even if you should go on ahead in the process we call death, or some of your loved ones die and go on ahead, it doesn't matter. You go to the same place, whether you do it through ascension, grid shift, rapture, death, whatever. If you're one of the people of God, if you're one of these divine lovers with the open heart space, you will make it to the new heavens and the new earth, and you don't have a thing to worry about. So get out of the mind, get into the heart, and be in the world, but not of the world. And that's how you can best cooperate and participate in being part of the solution to the many, many challenges that are facing our world and humanity today. I hope this has been helpful to you. So let's go out chanting, and I, Hugh. And again, this is the chant of divine empathy. The Ani, or Ani, however you want to chant it, opens the heart center and connects you in conscious awareness with your divine empathy, your heart, and humanity. Deep breath. And good evening, and God bless you, and God willing, I will be with you this time next week. Remember to keep connected to Father Sky, Mother Earth, and the Son of God within your heart, and expand that heart sun until your whole aura is filled with the glory of the Son of God that you are, and that you inhabit the fullness of your heart space. With your whole life. God evening. Adonai.